When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome to the Plant School Podcast. I'm Rachel Tenney, and here we learn all about plants, how they work, how to care for them, and it's all taught in a way that anyone, from beginner to expert, can listen to, understand, and enjoy. So I hope that you will join me in Plant School. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Plant School Podcast. I'm so excited for today's episode, just to start off right there. I found it so interesting to talk with Cameron, and you'll see why, but I just want to give you a little update. I'm going to do our normal giveaways today, and because the person I interviewed today, Cameron Curry, is a business owner, he wanted to do a giveaway as well. And so at the very end of our interview together, I give details regarding that and how you, as a Plant School Podcast listener, you have a leg up in this giveaway that we're going to be doing. So stick around to the very end and I will give all the details for that. It's a giveaway that you don't want to miss. But as always, this is like the regular giveaway I do with every single episode. I give away 2 free plants. And something that has changed is that the greenhouse that usually supplies these plants, they are taking a small break because they are focusing on their outdoor spring stock, and so they had to pause on selling indoor plants, and that's totally fine. I know that working at a greenhouse is crazy during these spring months where everyone is needing literally everything. So while they are on break, I will be sponsoring the free plants for my listeners. I will still be choosing a winner from 1, someone who has left an Apple Podcast review, and 2, someone who has answered the little fun question that I post on Spotify under each episode. I will be picking it from the most recent episode. So let's start off with someone who answered last episode's Spotify question. I asked you, would you ever try out a Venus flytrap? Because if you remember, it was all about how to take care of Venus flytraps. And today's winner is Wumpty Watts. I'm assuming that's how you say it. But they said, definitely, I've always loved carnivorous plants and how they function. The colors are beautiful and a personal happy balm when they catch bugs. So if that was you, Wumpty Watts, go ahead and email me. You can find me at tenneyplants@gmail.com. That's TENNEY plants. And I will get you set up with your free plant sponsored by myself. And then over on Apple Podcasts, the winner this week that left a review is Nuan Unu. These are some pretty silly usernames. I apologize if I'm not pronouncing the username you chose correctly. But Nuanunu said, I've been listening to this podcast from the beginning and still love it so much. I've learned so much about plants and have been able to grow my plant collection due to all the knowledge provided. Rachel's voice is also so soothing and amazing to listen to. Would absolutely recommend this podcast to anybody, whether you know about plants or not. Thank you so much for that kind review. If that was you who left that review, again, the username is Nuan Unu, or maybe it's Nuan Nunu. I'm not sure. But go ahead and email me at tinnyplants@gmail.com, and I will set you up with your free plant. And if you want to win on the next episode, because I'm going to keep doing this while our usual sponsor is taking a break, then go ahead and either leave a review on Apple Podcasts if that is where you like to listen, or if you're on Spotify, scroll down on this episode and answer the fun little question that I put in there. And like I said at the beginning, there's a whole nother giveaway that's going on with this episode, so please stick around to the end to find out more details about that. But without further ado, I hope you enjoy my interview I had with Cameron Curry. All right, I am here with Cameron Curry, and Cameron, you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but you are the owner of Market Botany, And this company that you have started, it started out as a plant nursery, but now it's more of a plant care product brand. And yeah, you're kind of the brains behind it. I've been so excited to talk to you about this, kind of know the ins and outs of your story. Is there anything else that you would like people to know before we dive in?
So I totally did not see this for myself. Prior to COVID, I was a chef and I lost my job and got on TikTok and had the time to dive into other passions and found the plant community. Without the plant community, none of this would have really sprung into action or had developed at all. I really owe a lot of this to finding people like me, you know?
Yeah. How did that start for you becoming first interested in plants? Was that always a thing that you were interested in, along with cooking? Or was it something that happened after you lost that job?
So I have always been very close to nature. My dad is a fishing guide and a hunting guide in the cooler months. And then my mom, conversely, had a career close to nature as well. She was corporate Columbia Sportswear. And so I had this very interesting upbringing where I saw that there was career opportunity with nature, but I also had just a grassroots connection with nature because of the way my dad raised me and my brother. We gardened growing up and cooked together. So I already had that innate in me. And even in my college dorm room, it was full of houseplants. It's something that's been part of me my whole life. It just hasn't been to this absolute explosive obsession until the last 3 years.
So I know that along just with houseplants in general, you're also very into propagation. And so how did that begin? And are you still involved in propagating things? Is that still a hobby?
So I think that for a lot of us that we claim to be these houseplant enthusiasts, but the true hobby is propagation. Propagation is a method of plant cloning or dividing plants, multiplying plants through asexual reproduction. So a lot of the houseplants that we care about or that are trending, aeroids specifically, are quite easy to propagate with nodes and different substrates. It's something that I've always, I can remember my very first time seeing something being propagated in kindergarten. In the principal's office, there was a pothos, wild roots, a betta fish swimming in the roots. And I swear that that's been ingrained in my brain forever. But just growing up and sharing plants with people, it's that's the community part of the hobby is how we get to share what we love, share the plants that we love with each other. And it's just so cool to be able to grow something from nothing and really get to see the process that nature has perfected. I truly think that that is the hobby. If a lot of people thought about it for a second, I find myself propagating a lot, even just dividing plants from a pot, separating them off, that can be considered propagation to a degree, or division at least. So I think it's the fundamental part of this hobby.
So it's very much still a part of what you do then.
Heck yeah. In fact, so much so that the flagship product for the brand is a product called Prop Drops, which I always have a bottle within arm's reach. Prop Drops, liquid root growth accelerator that I formulated specifically for propagation. When I was gardening, there were other products like this that spoke to the gardener and that had the utility for the gardener. But as I really got into the houseplant hobby, there was nothing that I could find that catered to the needs of the houseplant grower versus the gardener or the landscaper or just the massive mass-produced cultivator, in a massive greenhouse and things like that. So I came up with something that would translate to the way that we are all propagating, which for the most part is water propagation. So this is a liquid root growth accelerator for propagation, but you can use it in any substrate.
I'm super intrigued by Prop Drops. And I want to talk to you later about it. I don't know, making a product, first of all, that is something I would love to know, all the work that goes into it, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So how did you grow an online presence with plants? Because is that kind of what started
the idea of like, oh, I could take this and make it a business.
How did the transition happen, like, especially after losing?
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because even in all of my like school projects and from culinary school where I had to like create concepts, there was a heavy like nature plant component throughout a lot of them. In fact, like my final project was a restaurant called Bungalow, which was like, you know, at the beginning stages of market botany, potentially a name that I was going to go with. But anyway, when I lost my job as a chef, I was working on a boat. So I had to go back to land. And when I got back to my house, all of my roommates had downloaded TikTok and I had never really heard of the app, but there was a competition to go viral in the house. And the first post I made was about my dog. And it got like 100,000 views overnight. And I was hooked.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
For real. So as I started really using the app, I realized what the algorithm was doing, not necessarily for the exposure of my content, because I wasn't really posting that much, but what the algorithm was doing to show me content that I would enjoy. And by doing so, I started to get connected with people who had interests that were truly my interests outside of the career that I was trying to develop as a chef. And so all of a sudden I was seeing people with careers in this industry with extreme amounts of depth of knowledge that I admired. And in the midst of the pandemic, had the opportunity to dive into those things in a way that just didn't, we never would have, you know? And so I did start making some plant content in addition to the other hobbies that I enjoy, you know, art and pets and cooking too. But what I found that was different about the plant stuff was that there was really just such a close-knit community of people who supported each other. And so I was looking through a lot of my school projects and I found that project Bungalow, which is actually a surf shop, like tapas bar. And I just decided to like strip away all the food service components, which was like the first time in my entire life that I started to like navigate away from food service. It's been something I'd like wanted to pursue my whole life. And I saw that like they're a lifestyle brand, like creating a lifestyle brand is something that is possible. I've seen it on the internet a lot. So I really just started talking about it as if it was real. You know, I got a 30-day trial to a website builder and made the website and said it was going to be huge. And the plant community showed up and I never went back to cooking.
That's amazing. So did it start as doing plant sales?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I don't know if I should admit this, but I kind of want to talk about the business aspect and like what it's taken to get here. I think it's a fun topic. I really had no inventory. Like I didn't know what I was going to do. If you look all the way back to the very first conversations about market botany on my profile, you'll see that I'm like, we'll have one of a kind DIY items. We're going to have thrifted collections of clothes. We're going to have, you know, aromatherapy. We're going to, you know, and I had no idea, but I knew plants would be part of it too. But I had like 6 plants in my apartment patio. It's all I could afford. And I'd moved a bunch, you know? And so I announced an early access pass and sold tickets to the early access pass in advance to give a certain amount of people access to the shop for the first day. And I had talked up the inventory, had no inventory, but then I had starting capital. So I was able to go purchase mother plants and some inventory to just get started. And then I started with cuttings and I went live every Tuesday for over a year on TikTok.
Oh my gosh.
Tuesday, plant drop Tuesday, where I would release new collections, sell out, pack the whole week, go source other plants and grow and moved into bigger spaces. And yeah, definitely plants were the anchor in the beginning.
Wow. I mean, kudos to you for just going for it, because I feel like that's the hardest step is people want perfection before they start. You didn't even have inventory and you started. That's like really cool that you made it work.
I had this realization at some point that when babies are trying to walk and they'd like barely stand up and fall down, everybody cheers. But they've never done it before. Something in them is telling them they should try, but they fall down and everybody cheers. Like, what if we just still did that for each other, you know, or for ourselves, you know? When we approach something that like is inside of us that is driving us forward. We want to do so bad that like when we approach a failure, it's like, but I did it, you know, and then you just keep going because like you're going to walk eventually.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And as a mom, I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
So for people out there, because I know a lot of people that listen to this podcast, they have like an Instagram page or a TikTok page that is like their plant person, right? They're posting their plants and things like that. Would you recommend people like taking this hobby of posting plants and making it a business? Or if like someone is interested in that, what would you say to them?
I would say starting a business in this industry is something that you desire. I will tell you it is 100% possible and can be lucrative, like can sustain life. There is a possibility for that. Of course, this is a hobby that a lot of us find great fulfillment from. You know, I started with plants and cultivating plants, and that's something that I tremendously enjoy and gives me so much fulfillment. I do not do that anymore. You know, like I've gotten far from that. So I think the important thing to think about or to consider is like, how much is it what you want? Like, which side of that is more important to you? Of course, if there's opportunity, like the community of people on the internet who enjoy plants, whose attention I had in that moment gave me the opportunity that I took advantage of. So I would say that if you see the opportunity to take advantage of it, if it's something that you want to pursue, there's no harm in doing it. I initially thought I was going to start an Etsy shop, and it's become a nationally distributed plant care brand. So there is huge potential. It's just, I think realizing that it can be that before you start, you know? Like, where do you want to go? Because you can go anywhere.
Do you feel like starting a brand on TikTok is still a possibility? Because I know, like, back in 2020, TikTok looked a lot different than it does now. Do you think it's still a place where you could start a business?
Yes. I think that I will completely admit that my scenario has the benefit of being in that time frame, but also kind of snowballed into being in the perfect storm for becoming a business. And I think that if you can get aware to what those conditions are, then there's still huge potential. But just trying to get like start from a blank account and open a business, so difficult, especially because general public who's viewing content can sniff that out in a second. But if you can kind of put your organic, authentic as you possibly can allow yourself to be, like, and then some, talk about you and what you love and introduce that first. And if there's a response back, as I believe there is many times, you know, then there is opportunity for business. But if you just gung-ho into the, like, I'm trying to sell you and there's no one there to receive it, it's not the same landscape anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel that. I've seen both sides where I am committed to a person for who they are. And then when they do introduce something, I'm much more open to it. So that's some great advice, to just be authentic, be yourself before you ever start trying to like push something on people or, yeah. Okay. So this kind of turned into you selling plants on live every Tuesday. And when did it start to become, okay, I want to move away from selling live plants to maybe creating a product?
So I, like I said, from the get-go, I didn't constrict myself to being one thing. I understood that I am a multifaceted individual and that my brand could be two, and that I could do that for some time and allow the consumer to kind of determine the direction by their reaction to what I was offering. I still try to do a ton of things to know where to go next, but almost probably 2 or 3 months in is when I first started to offer plant care products that were super not where I wanted them to be. I was buying the bottles at the dollar store and literally writing labels on masking tape, you know? And in fact, I released products that like were the very first go round of testing. And I was putting hydrogen peroxide in these metal bottles that were exploding on the airplane. I got in so much trouble. And like, so many things, like so much testing and stuff. And like, I tried to sell my art. I will always be trying to do that kind of stuff. But the plants is really what I wanted it to be. And so I moved into farmers markets. And once I had a local consumer base, I thought, okay, I'll do a retail nursery to like enhance the experience that my local customers can have and really put a lot of energy into that. Still not letting the plant care products go anywhere. Those were a great hit at the farmers markets and online. But then I got hit with a hurricane, like truly, like a hurricane that like...
Literally.
Like actually. And it disrupted my entire life. I lost the roof over my room. So many, like the majority of the things that were in my bedroom were completely destroyed. My mattress, all of my like electronics, a lot of my clothes.
Oh, and gosh. Like
water, standing water in my house. Like it was traumatic mentally, physically, the whole bit. But then the nursery, like my pride and joy, I'd put so much into it. Financially and just like blood, sweat, and tears. I didn't have the money to be doing what I was doing, building out that nursery. And so I like scrapped together materials and like just really put my heart into it. And so to see it just blown to smithereens really hurt. But I knew that it wasn't over because I did have the plant care products and my content by the nature of me liking to produce like educational content, I could still educate and convert to purchase on the product instead of the plant. So I can use the plants as the educational part instead of vice versa. And so I really was like, okay, Cameron, this is the pivot. This is the pivot that everybody talks about. And so I put the energy out there, applied to a competition. And we're talking, you know, I started the business in March of 2021. And so when I got hit with the hurricane, it was a year later. Like it was October of 2022. And all of like, I mean, the amount of growth that had happened between then was tremendous. But November of 2020, let's see, what are we in now? Holy cow. November of 20 is when I got chosen by the Lowe's competition. Have I told you about that yet?
I read it about you when I was stalking you for this interview. But yeah, please tell the listeners what that was, because I thought that was really cool.
So this is another thing. Shoot for the stars, you know? Like, seriously, the hurricane blew the roof off of my house and so delusional. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to win. There's no roof, you know? So I saw this targeted ad from a website called RangeMe, which like, if you're really trying to get into big box retail, what an asset that website has been for me. But that's where I found out about the Lowe's Into the Blue competition. And I applied. There was thousands of applicants, evidently, and they chose the top 200 to come to Charlotte, North Carolina, where the headquarters for Lowe's Home Improvement is, to pitch. Like, and you had to pitch over 15 rounds, and every like couple of rounds, you were trying to get into the blue. So like, you got a blue tick, right? Which meant like you had beat out the majority of the people in your product category with these products that I'm lawn and garden. So competing against fertilizer companies and water fountain manufacturers and substrates and bricks and, you know, everything you can imagine. I really felt like the underdog. I showed up in my jeans and boots and looking like I was a shopper at Lowe's when every other company had their business forward, you know, COO, CFO, like briefcases.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
I'm like imagining the Shark Tank. Was it like a room of investors? Like, how does that work?
So it is in every way. Lowe's did a really good job with this event. Now it's become an annual event as well. But I would say it's a combination of Shark Tank and American Idol, but for Lowe's specifically. And instead of leaving with an investment opportunity, you leave with like the winner leaves with a purchase order, like an order to get in, like they just bought from you to put your products in store. But the interesting part about this event specifically is that you didn't have to meet any of the vendor requirements that are traditional, like to get to even apply to Lowe's the traditional way or like any other big box store. So like things that I didn't even know existed, EDI, which is like an electronic data interface, which is how you communicate purchase orders and invoices and things like that, manufacturing volume and all of this crazy information I had no idea about yet. You didn't have to meet those requirements. They just wanted to see what's new and what's out there and like have these like small businesses come in. So did that, pitched over 15 rounds. You start with the small guys, with the like regional merchant staff in your product category, working your way all the way up to the room full of the like biggest CEOs, you know, that Lowe's has to offer, including Bill Bolts.
I'm like getting anxious just thinking about it.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Bill Bolts, who is he's the president, either vice president or president of merchandising for the entire brand. He's like at the head of the last table, right? And at the last pitch, this is like the platinum round. So you beat out everyone in your product category. You're competing against the top people in every product category. Only a couple of people are leaving with POs. And you pitch again that, you know, you've got your like mentors who have kind of chosen you because you're winning in that product category. So the merchant staff is like coaching you to get to the last thing. But then the last one is everyone you pitch to all day plus this everything. And it was 15 different pitches. And I pitched from 7:30 in the morning until like 6:30 in the evening. And then, but I left with a purchase order and prop drops. And it was a product pitch event. So they chose prop drops as the product from my line of products for me to pitch. And so I got the huge, huge day. Like,
yeah,
huge, you know? And then I had to have the real sit down talk with myself about, okay, production. I was filling these in a great bottle thing in my bedroom.
Oh my gosh.
Finances? Are you joking? Like money? At all?
I don't got that.
Yeah. I love that. And so over it, what I didn't realize either is it took a year to onboard with Lowe's before a purchase order even came. So that's just like doing all the work and everything. But I'm glad that was part of the process because I needed to find manufacturers. I needed not just to manufacture my product, but I had to get it all, like make sure all my certifications were correct, that I had all the ones that I needed that I didn't know existed. Label laws, EPA, you know, like software, the whole bit. Like I was learning, not just learning about, you know, big box retail, but learning supply chain, logistics, like accounting, the whole bit. And so it did take a whole year, but it was quite a cool event and I'm super glad I did it.
Yeah, that's amazing that you won that. Like knowing how many people alone just applied and then to whittle your way to the top, that's crazy. So huge congrats.
Thank you so much.
Do that purchase order, do they like, is it just like you're in to Lowe's or do they monitor how well it does and then they offer you to like all the stores nationwide? How does that work?
I would say it's definitely on a case-by-case basis. Social media had become an incredible asset for me because it comes with all the analytic tools. So I kind of use that in my pitch as well, like community. I am familiar with where my demographic exists. And so I pitch to them, you know, like, how about we test in the stores where I know my people are? Mm-hmm. And so if I talk about it on the internet, like, they're not going to accidentally go to a store without it. You know what I'm saying? So there's like strategies that you can place yourself in the conversation to have more control over what's going on, or they will take full control, you know, of the situation. And obviously they give you the PO, but it's not concrete. That is fully dependent on whether or not you get to the finish line of onboarding.
Yeah. So,
like you got your PO, but I had to pitch to 9 different investor groups over the year, different manufacturers, samples of all the different retail cases. It seriously has been the most isolating, like terrifying, exhausting, psychotic experience of my life because I've had to like learn so much so fast the like true expense of other people's money. You know what I mean? Because like,
yeah,
it's been nutso. But
I was gonna ask, like, when did you start getting help? Like, how long was it just you until you were like, oh my gosh, I need a team? Or
I hired my first employee February 1st this year.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. You've been doing this all by yourself.
It is I would actually say like, and like, I don't want it to come off in a weird, like in a way that's like egotistical or whatever. It is not typical or the right way to do it. Somehow we've gotten here. I would thank ChatGPT. Holy moly.
That thing is a lifesaver.
Seriously. I'm like, what is the Excel formula when I want a percent to move over there and plus this, you know, and then it gives me, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm like an Excel master, you know, but and legal document. I mean, it's been crazy, but seriously, I had to figure out a way to do it cost efficiently. So I contracted everything out. I contracted out warehousing, all my fulfillment labor, manufacturing, obviously contracting that out completely, accounting, everything contracted out. So I have had gradually come on, but as far as an in-house person to like answer emails, phone calls, ordering, you know, like keep track of things, like make sure I'm like alive, you know, like, or eating, yeah. Like that started in February and I just hired, his name is Wyatt, and he just graduated with an entrepreneurship business degree and he is incredible. And I just feel incredibly lucky, blessed to have him. He's jumped right on board and I know he'll be here for the long haul. So it's changed the game to have a second brain.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. And was it simply you went that long? Was it for like the cost you didn't want to invest in the money of having someone there? Because I know that is like a big investment.
Absolutely. Labor is the most expensive thing. Like, actually, this is a huge deal to me. If I'm going to own a business in this day and age, and it's going to be this kind of work and this hard, I want to make sure that I am creating jobs that are an asset, like to the lives that these people who are employed by this company, like live, you know what I mean? I don't want it to be the means of their life. I want to give them a wage that is going to give them that. It's hard to find that balance, like especially in the beginning of people understanding it's a startup. Like you kind of have to do a lot of things. You don't just have one job title. Like I may need you to run in over here and whatever. And so the complexity of that when a lot of people do want like a framed job and just not being able to, I didn't pay myself. I haven't paid myself. Like I still am not, you know, I pay my rent because I have to. I wouldn't if I, you know what yeah. I'm saying? But rice and beans, yo. Rice and beans and growing my own vegetables.
So yeah. A question with that that I'm really interested in is when you created this product, Leaf Drop or Prop Drops.
Those are my two products that I offer at this scale now. I did have some other ones, but those are the two that have stuck around.
Okay, gotcha. How did you go about creating those? Was it just like, I know these ingredients work and I'm going to kind of test them and find something?
So I kind of briefly mentioned how I saw alternatives to prop drops that spoke to different types of plant people, like the gardener, the landscaper, or the mass cultivator or whatever. But there was nothing really for the houseplant grower. So I think my marketing brain definitely played a huge role in this. I was using this for myself to speed up production in the very beginning of Market Botany. When I first started on my apartment patio, I could not keep up. And the whole point was that I was growing these plants myself because that was the hobby that got me into it in the first place. But then also just cost effectively, it makes sense to grow these plants. I mean, that's like where everybody sees that there is business potential there is that you can cut a piece off of your inventory, root it, and still have the inventory you started with. You know what I mean? But I could not keep up with the demand to do that. So I researched and researched and researched, especially hydroponic lettuce production, like in controlled environments, because the next place that I would move from my patio in my apartment was into a 10x10 storage unit with no natural light, air circulation, or even access to water. So I was like, how can I like figure this out to like turn this into a grow op in a shed? You know what I'm saying? And so I mad scientist it and did a bunch of testing, came up with a solution that was doing great things for me. And there was a lot of conversation about it online. And then I realized, whoa, this is something that isn't just for me. Like this is something that everybody could benefit from. So I put it in a bottle, you know?
That's amazing. So when I looked at it on Market Botany, your website, the label like doesn't say anything about ingredients. Is that on purpose? Has like the label changed? Maybe that was an older picture. I'm not sure.
It's on the back. Just depends where you look. But so the active ingredient is called indole-3-butyric acid, which is a naturally occurring hormone. And of course, in this bottle, the indole that we're talking about is a synthesized version of a naturally occurring hormone, right? So that's the active ingredient in here. That's the only ingredient in this bottle that is required by the EPA to be listed on the guaranteed analysis. The other things that make this product successful are proprietary, because that's like what makes it competitive. But it is not a plant food. I will tell you that. That is a huge misconception about the product. There is no NPK value. You'll see on here, there's no like the three numbers that you'll see at the bottom of a fertilizer that kind of tell you the nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus that are included in that concentrate or in that mix. That is not what this product is. This is intended to accelerate and to invigorate root growth for propagation and not feed your plant.
That's an important distinction.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people I hear talk about it as a plant food. You know, I'm fertilizing with prop drops. I'm like, no, please don't say that. Please. Because there's some significant problems with making sure that my product is presenting like in a way that is understood, you know, like if it looks like I'm making the promise that it is a plant food, the EPA would be all up on it.
Yeah.
And so it is not the plant food. It is root growth hormone, which I think there's a little bit of a bad connotation about the word hormone.
So I can see that. Yeah.
Which I think stems from the whole topic of like GMO and hormones in food. So interesting, though, like in houseplant cultivation, usually the goal isn't to eat it. In fact, like we probably shouldn't eat a lot of them, you know?
Yes.
But what this is really cool about a hormone, if you can think about what its process or what it does in the plant's function, is it really communicates to the plant to do a function versus feeding it that would make those functions happen better. This is communicating to start a process.
Yeah.
Like it's a communication tool. It's like speaking their language. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. I did a whole episode about plant hormones, how to manipulate a plant. And it's really fascinating. And growers do this all the time. Like they use things to get their plants to flower exactly when they need it to so they can ship them off.
The phylloxera orchids, are you joking? You know, like how do you think they're all in bloom like that? No way.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like there's nothing wrong with manipulating a plant. That's like what humans have been doing since the beginning of time. And I think it's really cool that now we understand the exact hormones that are doing it and we can take mm-hmm. those and put them where we need them. But I was going to say, I feel like your product, like you said, fills a really cool niche because there are the powders, there are the gels, but I've never felt like that's something I could just put into my propagation jars. And so to have a product specifically for that, it just like puts my mind at ease. And I would like, that's something I would definitely use. So I think that's really cool that you found that little niche that people were needing a product for.
I'm so happy you like see it that way, because I was at the beginning of being introduced to those, you know, powders and things too. It just didn't feel right, you know, especially dipping your cutting into a powder and putting it in the jar of water and it all floats to the top. I just didn't feel like I was getting the full utility out of the product. A lot of the, you know, the products on the market that offer the same utility but are in a different like form, not liquid, or a gel, a powder, whatever, have the same indole-3-butyric acid as the active ingredient. So they do the same thing. Their offer is the same. But what the difference is, communicates to the beginner plant parent what to do with it without much need for translation, which is important to me, but still be trusted by its active ingredient by like the experienced horticulturalist. But then also, because it's liquid, a lot of people, the reason why we lose plants to rot is you take a cut, you know, it's got the brand new wound, you put it in water, the bacteria, the whole bit, right? So because this is liquid and not a powder or anything, it's immediately being absorbed into the plant. If you take a cutting, fresh cutting, you have those, you know, the pathway of where water's moving up the plant and stuff, and immediately put it into prop drops, you're going to administer root growth hormone into the plant like much faster. And so if you can get roots faster, then you have less chance of rot.
Yeah, that's genius. And for so many people, like you said, where propagation is the fun part of houseplant ownership, or a lot of people rely on propagation for their businesses, they're selling plants like you do. I feel like this is just like such a key product. So I'm interested, what is like a typical day look like for you running your own business? I'm sure it's changed throughout time, but like at this moment, what does that kind of look like?
So my day started at like 4:30 this morning, and I came into the office, which I now have a separate office entirely. I moved the business out of my home at the same time that I hired an employee because of POs coming in and stuff. But came into the office, got onto the computer to communicate with manufacturers in overseas because that's the time that they operate. Because I'm currently trying to just reconstruct some packaging. So I'm sourcing it through different manufacturers and stuff and getting it built out by different packaging engineers and then receiving samples. So there's a lot of communication happening between me and people in different countries. So that has to happen at a time that's appropriate for them, right? And so I did that. Then, during that communication, it came up that some of the vector files for the print jobs weren't high enough resolutions. So they have to be fully built back out. Logos that have to be started from scratch to provide to them in different formats and stuff. And so then taking that you're adjusting for one and then making sure that it's consistent across all the other ones so that there isn't a difference. Because if you improve one thing, you got to make sure you do the other ones at the same time or else.
Yeah, it's like a domino effect.
Then in April, almost every weekend in April, there's an event happening. So I'm booking hotels, travel, planning displays, making sure I have the appropriate plant samples in the right area or places that they need to be, scheduling all of that and communicating with the different events to make sure that I have all of my information sent back and forth. Then communicating with my manufacturers about where we're at with certain par levels on inventory and then doing ordering of different supplies. And then you do shipping notices to let them know that you have supplies going in different directions, invoice purchase orders from Lowe's, and then check up on forecasting to make sure that I am working ahead, far enough ahead to make sure that I can keep up with the demand that is in front of me. And then strategize for that appropriately. Work on affiliate program, on TikTok Shop, customer service. I have 30 different communication portals, basically. And then I've been able to set up a lot of automation when it comes to order fulfillment to kind of funnel things to my 3PL. So I don't have to do the manual stuff that I used to with TikTok Shop and my own website. And then just making sure that all of that's happening. I had a couple of Lowe's stores call me to verify where orders were in transit. I'm getting some shirts embroidered I had to go pick up today.
Man.
I was very excited about this podcast. I thought it was at 1 o'clock and I got all set up and ready. And then I realized it was at 7. So that actually gave me some time to do some other stuff. There's a TikTok Shop spring sale that I'm registered for. So making sure I'm planned for that content. I'm trying to get on different e-commerce channels and setting those things up. And then we have some other really exciting opportunities with other retailers that there's pitch decks being built and things like that. Accounting, investor communication. It's been a day today, but that's just about the same for every day. We're still going.
That's crazy. That's a massive amount going on in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And did you, this is just curiosity. Did you get a degree in business or marketing, or are you just learning all of this on your own?
So sort of. I have a associate's in culinary arts, and then I have a bachelor's in food service management. So I do have some business education, formal business education, though it was very geared to food service, right? So in the beginning, when I was costing out these, it was I was using recipe costing cards, instead of pie crust.
Yeah.
How much soil is in my pie? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it really helped at least me somewhere. But then it's been just exposing myself as much as possible to people who are doing things that I where I want to be, and just gleaning as much information as possible and failing as much as possible. Just gung ho doing it, and because literally the answer comes to you right after you mess up. In fact, mm-hmm. in the beginning, I was infamous for taking a document that I had to submit and submitting it blank. Because if you try to get someone to help you, they will not. but they will love to call you and say something's wrong, like it's blank. And I'm like, great, thank you for calling. Can we work through this together?
Yeah.
Just figuring it out.
That's pretty amazing, though. Took what you have and made it into, you know, what you needed it to be. So I just have a question with all of this. Do you still find joy in plants? Like, is that still like a place that you would say that's still a hobby for me?
Yeah, that will never go away, actually. Plants are the connection to my own self. I truly feel like they are so much of who I am. I know that if I lose everything, I have a connection to these plants. They give you hope, you know, like they're from nothing. You can grow a forest, you know? And so I look to them for a lot of my like metaphorical or like philosophical internal growth, even more so than a hobby. I spend time in nature. I have a relationship with nature that extends way further than the plants that I bring inside. So it's definitely something super important to me that I will always find joy with, but even more than that, like I find like myself, you know?
That's amazing. I feel like sometimes when people do start a business closely related to something they just love, that it can start to like ruin that relationship. But I'm glad that it's much bigger than that for you and that you still are able to like, this is business, this is, you know, my happy place, and they coexist. So that's really great. If someone wanted, when we kind of talked about this just for a brief second, but if someone wanted to create a business within the houseplant industry, because that's kind of what this podcast revolves around, what advice would you give to them?
I would say go back onto your, like if you're posting online, like it, because I would say that use social media as much as you possibly can as a tool to start this, right? But if you're posting educational content specifically, or just like your content in general, your biggest hitters, the ones that had the best engagement, like go look back at your comments. Go look at the questions that your following or your peers have. There lies the pain points you can look at to understand the problems that need to be fixed. And then you can bring your own perspective into that, like your own design, your own methods, your own voice, you know, like onto those problems that are already being experienced. I think a lot of times we feel the need to like develop something completely new to the world to show everyone how unique we are, when in fact, there's problems that still need to be fixed, you know, that exist already. So it's not necessarily about creating the biggest, flashiest thing that ever existed and that's going to shock the world. It's about giving someone a toothbrush because they need clean teeth. So doing the research to understand the problems that already exist that aren't being paid attention to close enough by the brands that exist now.
I love that. That's such great advice. I have like a brief story that correlates with that, if you don't mind me sharing.
Yeah, but, of course. I'll hear it.
So I have a YouTube channel. And anyways, it was just like something that happened after school that I would post for fun. And I wanted to learn how to propagate a pothos. And all of the videos were so long, just so long. And I just wanted to know how to propagate it. Made my own video once I had figured out how. Put it out there. It was only like 3 minutes long. And what do you know? That is like the top video for propagating a pothos now, because so many people had that same pain point in the small little realm of, you know, this video, the search is just, these videos are way too long. But yeah, that's like a winning piece of advice to find those pain points. And with us already being in the industry, I feel like you already, a lot of our listeners probably have insights of, you know, this is really annoying. I wish someone would fix this, and maybe it could be them that fixes that problem and, you know, makes the houseplant industry just a little bit better for everybody else. Kind of like what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Like that makes me happy. Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah. And for everyone listening, we wanted to do a giveaway. I would assume that many of my listeners have, and some of them probably do know who you are, but many of you may not know about Market Botany and Cameron. And we would love to let you guys have the chance of winning some of his prop drops and Leaf Shine. Are we doing both?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. We're
going okay, to give it. Them
the Market Botany Plant Care Essentials bundle. So they'll get
awesome.
A bottle of Prop Drops, a bottle of Leaf Shine, and then our microfiber towel that is used to apply the Leaf Shine to your foliage.
Oh, perfect. So everything that you would need would come with this giveaway. Oh, yeah. So if you guys want to enter, we're going to do it a little differently because I know on this podcast, it's usually leave a review, answer the Spotify question, you can win a free plant. But this is going to be different. So if you guys will go and follow me at Plant School Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok, and then also go and follow Cameron. And Cameron, would you please share your socials for Instagram and TikTok?
Absolutely. So my handle on Instagram and TikTok is Mark Botany on all platforms. You can find me.
Perfect. So Plant School Podcast and Market Botany. If you guys follow along there, you are going to see us post about this giveaway when it's happening and you can enter in a chance to win. I wish there was a way for me to enter in because, again, I just think that you have found just an amazing product.
Well, just sit tight because you will have a bundle of your own at your doorstep in the next couple of days. It's already in the mail.
That's right. Ask me about my address.
I'm super
excited. You've got me covered. Thank you.
To test them out. Let me know what you think, please.
Oh, I'm excited. Yeah, for sure. Let you know. Cameron, thank you so much for coming on and for spending time just explaining your experience. I think it's really interesting, and I think it's also very helpful for all of us, you know, in this realm, just to see the possibilities and where people have taken this. Your story is amazing, and so thank you again for coming on and sharing it.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really, really respect you. Your podcast is so incredibly insightful, and I love listening to it, and I can't wait to share this with my followers, because I think that they'll find a lot of value from the information you provide as well. So thank you so much for having me on. It really was so fun.
So that concludes my interview with Cameron. I quickly wanted to touch on the giveaway that we were just talking about together, because if you listen to this entire interview, you have an upper hand in the giveaway. This is kind of like a podcast exclusive, but within this week, both Cameron and I will be posting the giveaway. And when those posts come up, it'll be obvious that it's for the giveaway, right? And if you go on and comment your dream job in the green world, it can be anything within the green world, maybe just something that you think would be fun. It doesn't have to be anything that you're seriously considering, just something that you would think would be fun. And from those of you that did comment and share your dream job, we will be picking a few winners from there on top of like the normal requirements on the giveaway that will be detailed in the post. So you can enter in both ways, but we will be choosing exclusively people that have commented their dream job as kind of like an extra piece to this giveaway. So commenters will be exclusively winning, and then people who have entered in normally, that's detailed in the post, can win that way too. This is like a secret way to enter in the giveaway, just for those podcast listeners that stuck around and listened. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Cameron as much as I did. I feel like there was so much great value in here, and I hope that you will join me in 2 weeks for a brand new episode of Plant School. Thank you so much for being here and for listening to the Plant School Podcast. I hope that you will join me for our next episode. And if you would like to support this podcast and keep it going, there's a link down in the show notes of this episode where you can donate to this podcast. And I really appreciate all that help. Or you can go to my merch store, which is also linked in the notes of this episode, and you can find some really cool plant-related shirts and stickers. And if you want to support the podcast but spend no money, feel free to share it with a friend, leave a review. All these things greatly help me out and allow me to keep doing this. Again, thank you so much for listening and for being here at the Plant School Podcast.